Welcome to the Girl Gang Craft Podcast, where we dive in deep to all things business, wellness, creativity, and activism for artists and entrepreneurs. We talk with impactful, female-driven companies and founders for an inside look at the entrepreneurial experience, where you'll come away with tangible steps to elevate your business. Are you ready? I'm your host, Phoebe Sherman, founder of Girl Gang Craft, artist and designer and marketing obsessed. We're here to learn together how to expand our revenue, implement new organizational techniques, and cultivate best business practices as we work towards creating a life doing what we love. Let's get started. Hey, creatives, Phoebe here. Today, we are talking about brand partnerships. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I think it's a complicated topic. I think the ecosphere of online is moving towards brand partnerships and advertisements. Whether you are a small business owner or a creator or an influencer or, you know, a big business or what have you, I think brand partnerships can be really potent and fruitful. And so I'm here to talk today a little bit about my personal experience, how you can do brand partnerships well, some things to look at in terms of like ethos and alignment for your audience. And we're not going to go super deep into like pricing or like how to necessarily conduct a brand partnership or like how to like what sort of offerings to offer, but I am going to talk about my personal experience. And if you're interested in learning more, you can take my brand partnership class, and that's available now for about a week. And you can also add on the email class for $19. So that's a pretty damn good deal. And if you sign up for the brand partnership class now, I'm reworking this class, going a little bit deeper, making it more of a course style instead of like an hour and a half workshop. And you will get access to the new course as well if you sign up now. If you've been wanting to ask me anything, we now have a phone number, so you can leave a voicemail. No one's going to be picking up the phone, so if you're a little bit phone shy, that is okay. Go ahead, call 413-961-0855. And you can ask me anything about brand partnerships, anything about small business running, anything at all. I may or may not answer the questions you have, but with the idea that we will answer your questions in future podcast episodes. So if that's something you're interested in, please give us a call, 413-961-0855. That is the GGC HQ. So brand partnerships. I want to dive into first that I am really grateful for brand partnerships. And I want to sort of acknowledge that. And I just had this conversation with Risa from Missing Witches talking about their decision not to advertise. Fully respect it. And this idea of, you know, being an anti-capitalist business while being a business that exists in late stage capitalism, and how we can grow and build and finance a business in our lives while staying true to our ethos. And this is a complicated question, and there is not a one shoe fits all. So I'm just here to tell you about my experience and my thoughts, and please take what you will from this. I don't want you to be taken advantage of, A. I also want you to be able to finance your business and finance your life. And these are very personal choices about how you move forward with your business and who you partner with and who you get money from and who you promise what. So I just want to offer my own thoughts and encourage you to think about your ethos in your business and who you work for and why you do what you do and who you do it with. Okay, that was a little like all over the place. But my point is, when I work for brand partnerships, I like to work with brands that are A, in alignment with my audience, B, in alignment with my values, and C, can finance whatever I'm doing for them. So I also think it is pretty rad to be able to support the work I'm doing from big corporations. I think it's actually a pretty radical act to be like, yeah, I will take your money to subsidize this work that I am doing that is in alignment with my beliefs and my community. So, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to work with everyone, but it also means that if there's a big business that wants to support small businesses and is in alignment with my audience, it may be a good fit. Okay, I'm gonna bring it down a little bit more concrete now. So this year, 2024, we've already done $20,000 in partnerships. And that is wild because last year we did about $30,000 in partnerships. And so this first quarter already, $20,000 in partnerships. And you know why we've done that so much? Is because I felt I needed money. I felt pretty broke a couple months ago and was not sure how I was going to pay my team and was not sure how I was going to pay myself and pay all the venues that we need to pay. As you know, a lot of our revenue, the majority of our revenue, it comes from throwing events, comes from vendor fees, and that's how I pay my team, pay my bills, pay all the million of tech that we use and venues, etc. So in my last, in a couple episodes ago about money snacks, I talked about feeling broke like this and taking actionable steps to bring in money. And so I did. And we succeeded in supporting myself, my team, paying the venues, and bringing in $20,000 in partnerships quarter one. This is a really good way to finance your operations in times of low revenue. So for instance, if you're a seasonal business like us, there are other ways to bring in money during that time, and partnerships could be one of them. Here are some partners that I have worked with: Adobe, Planoly, Flowdesk, Paloma, Topo Chico, Wink, Printify. And I want to talk about how I sort of got into partnerships and specifically about like what some of these partnerships have entailed, what I've liked about them, what I maybe haven't liked about them. So let's start with how I got into partnerships. Partnerships really came about when I realized that we could have sponsors for our in-person events, when we could have bigger companies pay for booths a higher rate than you all pay. So we really started working with partners like Topo Chico, Get Around, Revive Kombucha, a lot of drink companies to be at our physical events to maybe hand out samples. And again, at that higher booth price, we would give them, you know, a sponsorship title. They might also, besides their active footprint in the space, they maybe also got a newsletter shout out, a couple social media posts, etc. So we really offered like a multi-vertical package for each business that we worked with. So yeah, I think working in events was like a really direct way to start working with partnerships. Bigger businesses, especially direct to consumer businesses of some sort, or, you know, beverage food businesses, they want to get in front of specific audiences. And people, these businesses loved having in-person interactions. There is something very valuable about big businesses, but any businesses, as you know, connecting with people in person. So people like Topo Chico, again, would pay us a higher booth fee so that they could hand out bottles of sparkling water for free at our events in the hopes that the attendees would associate that good experience with that brand and, you know, go to the store next time and pick out a Topo Chico for themselves. So a lot of these big businesses, especially these drink companies, like have in-person marketing budgets. Fast forward, pandemic times, we always got to talk about it. I wasn't throwing events anymore. At, I guess, like right before the pandemic, I was starting to figure out like, how do we continue to work with bigger businesses online and in person? So I had actually partnerships, having a team member work on partnerships was one of the first things that I hired out for. I knew it was a numbers game. You're emailing, and I didn't always have time to do that. I was focused on events. So I had a couple of partnership folks, and 2019, Nicole was working for me, and we had sort of decided to start talking about, you know, digital partnerships in addition to physical partnerships. And she had a relationship with someone at Adobe, Adobe Express. It, back then it was Adobe Spark. And she reached out and we got connected to do a movie, a video project, a 3 video series. That was back when, man, I don't even know the name, Instagram. It wasn't Reels, whatever it was before Reels or Instagram called something, or Instagram long form videos or whatever. Anyways, that's besides the point. And I was connected with a lovely woman from Australia, Kitty Apalaskas, and we're now good friends, about making a video, a 3-part series video on branding. And so that was my first like really deep dive into a digital partnership. Is that true? Maybe. Well, okay. I want to back up a little bit and then I'll dive more into Adobe. I was doing sort of like yoga teaching and trying to sort of do travel influencing kind of stuff a while ago, whenever, what, like 2018-ish. So I had experience reaching out to brands for collabs, quote unquote, for basically asking for clothing in exchange for photos. And so that was sort of how I got that start on the like digital side of partnerships. And so I worked with a couple brands like Laundry, they're a swimsuit brand. And like, honestly, I did a few kind of swimsuit stuff because I was going on vacation or I was traveling in Bali and I wanted swimsuits, whatever. So that was sort of my first experience with pitching and working on social media collaborations. Okay, fast forward to Adobe. Adobe was like a 3-part series on video. Kitty and I sort of like discussed it and did it online. That was our first really educational deep dive into a digital partnership. And then Adobe Spark started to create their ambassador program. So I got sort of funneled into that. And I've been with Adobe Express ever since on their ambassador community side. Working with Adobe specifically has been such a potent and powerful experience. I have gotten so many opportunities from them to not only speak at their conference, but to, you know, a few weeks ago, I got flown out to San Francisco to speak on their live about Adobe Express in studio. I've met so many good friends. I've been, you know, they've flown me out to the conference in LA and have access to support from the Adobe team, have access to their, you know, their tech, have access to their community and to financial resources. So Adobe really has supported me financially with these digital partnerships, you know, through the pandemic and still today. So I'm forever grateful to Adobe Express. And yeah, I've recently, so I've worked with Planoly, Flowdesk, Wink. Printify is a recent partnership that I've started working on, and that is also a month-to-month ambassadorship, or it's just a repeat partnership, basically. And I love working with these repeat partners because a lot of these are sort of one-offs, and then that relationship might fizzle, you know, also not to mention like all the turnover and all of these brands that we've worked with. I've seen it firsthand of like really trying to get connected with whoever's still running partnerships after you've been working with them for years. Anyways, a goal of mine is to work with more long-term partners that really are in alignment with the community, the GGC community, alignment with me. And so I can also deep dive into the product more. So on a personal note, the way that I get to know a product is really rewarding. And also for you, for the community side, you get to watch me talk about a product on a deeper level. And so you get to know the product. So really that's good from all sides, especially from an advertising perspective, right? A one and done sort of partnership could hit. It really could do, you know, convert, or it could not. So I really find that I want to prioritize working with partners over a long-term period. And I find the advertisers often want to do that as well, if they're really aligned. I want to talk about some bad experiences recently about partnerships. So I like almost want to pull up my receipts for this. I will. One moment, please. Okay, I've pulled up the email so we can really hop in on the tea. Some bad experiences. This was a bad experience. I didn't complete the partnership because I'll just tell you about it. So this is PopSockets. And yeah, I'm telling you all PopSockets. I responded to their email and they didn't get back to me. So I'm giving, and that was like 8 days ago. So I'm giving myself full permission to talk about it because they didn't respond. So PopSockets reached out for a collab, an unpaid collab. So product only. And I was like, I'm not going to work for a PopSocket, right? They're, you know, $10, $20, whatever. But they actually have a lot of cool new products that are like good for content creation. And I thought, you know, okay, fine. They're offering me 5 products for a post. Okay. So I went forward. Here's the email. We've been enjoying your content lately and would love to team up with you in a gifted collaboration. We would love to send you a few things to try on us. If you're interested, please follow the link to view the details and submit your shipping info. And then so there's like a form app situation that a lot of people have been using lately. And so you get to like pick your products and go through them and then give all your information. And so I did that. And so I spent, you know, a good half an hour going through their products and trying to decide what I was going to pick and like having some ideas for how I would talk about their products, right? They followed up, you know, a few days later and they even checked in. They were like, I was checking back in to see if this collaboration is something you might be interested in. If so, please select your products and learn more. So they're following up. They're again directing me to the link for this gifted collaboration. So, you know, I filled it out. I said, blah, blah, blah. I did fill out the form. And then, you know, they said, thanks for submitting a proposal. Our team will review and be in touch with next steps. So then I reached out. I was like, okay, I haven't gotten that package yet. Just checking in. You know, I want to follow up to see if this was sent out. And they sent me an email that says, thanks for getting back. After careful consideration of all applicants, we were unfortunately not able to accept your proposal this time around. We greatly appreciate your time and interest in collaborating with us, and please know that you will be considered for campaigns in the future. So this is wild to me because I also get emails about applying for partnerships all the time. They send out emails and they're like, please apply, you know, for this thing and tell us what you would do about it. Fine. This was not that. This is an email that says, we want to give you these things in exchange for content. That's literally what it said. So I ended up writing an email back to us and said, you know, this is not a paid collaboration. I spent a half an hour picking out items and starting to think about content I could create. Now checking back in, you say I'm an applicant. Your wording's in your email like, we've been enjoying your content lately and would love to team up with you in a gifted collaboration. We would love to send you a few things to try on us. Like, that makes it seem like they've already decided to work with me, right? So I said that in an email. I like highlighted things in my true Virgo fashion with their own wording. And I said, if you're going to move forward with these campaigns, I strongly urge you to reconsider your messaging and your emails. And that was 8 days ago. I haven't gotten a response. So this is my permission to myself to talk about this publicly. And why does this piss me off? I really didn't spend much time on this. But what pisses me off is incorrect use of languaging. It's a waste of my time. You wrote me an email that you weren't going to pay me, but you were offered me free product. I spent time going back and forth with you, thinking about this thing, you know, maybe in the subconsciousness of my mind, and you say that I was an applicant. You did not ask me to apply. You offered me items in exchange for this collaboration. It's just wild to me. Why does it piss me off? Because they probably did this to a lot of people. Probably people were really excited about this collaboration, maybe too. And yeah, it pisses me off because it's not quite a scam. Like, I will talk about some scam partnerships in a moment, but it feels very misaligned. Feels very just really bad communication. And I really don't like bad communication. So there's my pop socket tea. I'm going to move on to some other tea also, which I haven't talked about this yet. I'll probably make a video about it also. And we're going to talk about trying to work with ACT insurance. I don't know why I feel like a little nervous talking about this one. We have worked with them before and they were lovely. ACT Insurance is an insurance company that specializes in craft fair vendor insurance. Obviously, we're a craft fair and we work with vendors. We are a great fit for this partnership. We've worked with them in an education style podcast, sponsored podcast, not just a commercial, but an actual podcast about why insurance is important for small business owners who are vending. That was a year or two ago. And then we had reached out about working together again for this year. And, you know, we had several emails. We had like a call with their full team and they put together a proposal. Now, I've been trying to work with partners on a more like yearly basis. So I put together sort of a multidimensional proposal that involved like various verticals, various activations throughout the whole year. It was a $6,500 proposal. With the idea that they could take what they wanted and leave out the rest. And they got back to me, and maybe I want to find receipts for this one as well, but they got back to me and they were like, one of the things was a blog. And one of the proposals was a blog about, you know, why vendors might want insurance. And she said, we were surprised to hear about pricing for your blog because we thought you would want to just provide information to your vendors about insurance that you would make money from. It's just wild. Insurance is real. Insurance is a real thing that you may need. And I'm not going to tell you whether or not you need insurance for different things. As an event producer, I have event insurance. We do not require vendors to have vendor insurance. The next part of the email was, would you consider requiring your vendors to have vendor insurance and you would get a cut? No, absolutely not. That feels so scammy to me. You want me to require my vendors to have insurance and then I get a cut of that? Insurance is so specifically scammy to me because yes, it's real, right? Sure, they're going to protect you on certain things, but you're getting nothing. You're getting, yeah, the safety of mind. Fine. This isn't going to come back to bite me. There's going to be like a fucking hurricane at one of my events. Knock on wood. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm just standing up for the little person, the little guy here, the small businesses. Okay. It feels so scammy to me to force our vendors to get insurance and then take a cut of it. I don't really know how to describe it any differently than that, except it just felt so wrong to me. And I was just appalled that they said that. And I said as much, and they don't want to work with us until we do that. So those are some bad experiences. These are, just in the pitching stages too. I don't think I've really had any bad partnership experiences at all. Everyone who I've worked with, who I've actually decided to work with, has been really incredible. There's definitely been, you know, some people who require more communication, more like check-ins and checking of the content. There's some people who just like trust me completely. I don't mind check-ins. I don't mind edits and stuff. I mean, I might mind a refilming situation, but I don't personally mind that. So some other things to look out for, the DMs about partnerships. Often those DMs are like asking, you'd be perfect for this affiliate or for this, you know, dog collar, and we'll give you 10%, blah, 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 blah. Follow this page. I don't know. All of those are most likely scams. You'll start getting maybe emails with proper pitches. There's probably a lot of emails you may start getting about collaborations, you know, product for posts. And I still do some of those. You know, I believe in a product and I want the product, sure. You know, you want to think about if that is worth your time. You want to maybe decide if you want to even ask for money, if that's something that you could, you know, potentially pitch them. And you want to, really the most important thing that you could get from this podcast from walking away from it is you want to make sure no one owns your content besides you. And if you are giving away content rights to another business, you want to make sure you get paid for that and you have a contract for it. That's really important. And I can go more into that in our class, but make sure you are not signing away your content. Period. Okay, I feel like I've rambled enough here today. If you have questions about brand partnerships, like, please ask me, send me a DM, or yeah, call our new phone number and leave a question and we can add it into another podcast episode. And if you're interested in brand partnerships, again, it's been rewarding both financially, community-wise, and opportunity-wise to work with partners. I've taught classes at, you know, for Planoly, for Adobe. You don't know who's going to be connected to who, and there's so many really amazing opportunities out there. And I also want to say that partnerships don't always have to cost money, right? This can be a partnership with, let's say you're a ceramics artist and you do a partnership with your local coffee store, and, you know, maybe there's a giveaway. I don't know. There's all sorts of ways that you can connect with other brands where there's equal reward, whether that's finances or product or exposure on both ends, whatever. So think about what you want and who you want to work with, who's aligned with your ethos and with your community. And well, I do want to say a couple more things too. I do want to talk about partnership myths really quickly. Everyone can be a partner. Everyone can work with partners. Everyone can start pitching. You don't need to have a certain amount of followers. You don't need to, you know, have a certain niche. You don't need to be sort of an influencer style service-based business. Like, you can be just a brand and work with other brands. That's allowed. There are ways to do it. There are ways to do it that are in alignment with your ethos, alignment with your audience. This is another creative project. It's another revenue stream. Thinking about how you can bake this into your content, bake this into your work, bake this into your day-to-day. So you don't need to have a ton of followers. You can be a product-based business and work with other brands, and you can get paid right away for, even if you don't have a lot of followers, there are people who will pay you. There's also UGC, which is another different branch, if you will, of brand partnerships, user-generated content. And that doesn't need a following. You make content for other brands, you send it in. So that's another branch. And then I also want you to consider the opposite end of the spectrum, which is, or like the other side of the coin, like we're just throwing out cliches here, but like the other side of this is like figuring out if you want to reward other folks for making content with your product. So that is another thing to think about. If you want to create an affiliate or a digital partnership program, that's something that you can do as well. I could talk about brand partnerships for forever. Again, it's a big part of my day-to-day. It's a big part of our revenue. It's a big part of my work and my interests. I think it's cool to be funded by corporations to subsidize your work. I mean, you know, my other revenue comes from you all. And if I can also get some corporate money to support us, to keep your booth prices lower, that's great. To me, that's a win. So my brand partnership class. Again, if you sign up now-ish in the next week or so, you can also add on the email class for $19. We'll also throw in my media kit template in there. And the class covers how to find brands that are aligned with your mission, how to find the right person to contact. This is maybe the trickiest part. How to outreach and position your audience as valuable to the company, how to create a partner deck, how to maintain and nurture these relationships. I also want to throw out that I think besides finding the right person to contact is like following up. And that's my biggest advice to you is like, don't be scared to like send a follow-up email for both partnerships and also wholesale. They're sort of related, right, with pitching styles. And also make sure you stay really organized. And I go into some of those systems in my brand partnership class. And again, if you sign up now, you also get access for the course that I am in the process of making that goes into this a little deeper, more course style. So it'll be like small videos on topics instead of one long workshop. Okay, that's it for now. You can find out more information about the brand partnership class, girlgangcraft.com/classes. And yeah, send me a little voicemail. Call our phone number. That phone number again is 413-961-0855. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to the Girl Gang Craft podcast. Head to girlgangcraft.com/podcast for show notes and more. See you next time.